I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, welcome back to the Golf Show. I am Mike Dedurich. I'm your host here from 7 to 8 a.m. every Saturday morning, which would be why it has a.m. after it. Our first guest today is, you probably will recognize his name, and if we could show you his face, you'd surely recognize it. Jerry Foltz is he's one of the on-course reporters for the Golf Channel. He does a really good job keeping people informed about what's going on, you know, down on the battlefield, as it were. And he's had a very interesting summer, like a lot of us have. But I think his will trump most, and we welcome him to the Golf Show. And Jerry, thanks for coming on with me this morning.
Hey, my pleasure. Absolutely.
So, let's start with the first round of the Players Championship back in March is the last round of golf that we had for 5 months, whatever it was. So tell us the story of how that got started and then how your summer unfolded.
Well, I guess I'm too old to call her a girlfriend, but she's my girlfriend because we're not legally married. But Karen Stupples and I, she was up working the Players, and she came home that Thursday night once things were called, and then, you know, like everybody else, began to try and figure out what to do. Basically, didn't leave the house except for the grocery store for the first couple months. Still really haven't, except to go to work a few times. But so I learned to bake, which I didn't know I had any interest in. She became a landscaping savant, and we passed our time by trying to entertain people, mostly ourselves, on Twitter in the process, and that became quite fun. And then once we started playing golf again, we had already made the decision back before things were canceled in the spring with what was happening. We weren't going to get on any airplanes back then if we had continued to work. So made that decision to where I wasn't getting on an airplane this year, no matter what. And I started driving. And three long road trips, six tournaments later, 13,500 miles, 33 states visited plus D.C., and about 220 hours behind the wheel. Thus far, there's still a little more to come.
And what were you driving?
My truck, F-150. I tell you what, it's the perfect road vehicle. Sets up high. When you come up behind somebody who's going too slow, they tend to get out of the way of a truck as opposed to a little car. So it's fantastic. Oh, and the best part, no tickets. That was amazing.
How about that? Well, that's either, you know, one of two things. You're a very good driver and obey all the speed limits, or you were pretty lucky.
Yeah, I'd say option B combined with Waze. Waze saves you a lot of tickets when you use that app. So that was on constantly.
Yeah. So, you know, people might look at that and the way the summer unfolded for you and say, wow, that must have been a real drag for him. He probably looks at this as, you know, really bad experience. But that's not exactly the case, is it?
Oh, no. Because Karen ended up having to fly a couple times because she got added to other shows and couldn't make it in time. So a majority of the long hauls by myself, especially the one out west from Orlando to Palm Springs. That was rather long, and she flew into Phoenix, and I picked her up. But in the process of that trip, I got to see parts of Texas I never would have seen before, which I loved. My sister lives there. Played a couple days of golf and then took the back roads out. My goal was to never get on an interstate the whole time because I really wanted to see the parts of America that you just don't see.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, I had to acquiesce to speed sometimes just for to get there. But and then took a drive up, dodging the forest fires of California and Oregon when we drove from Rancho Mirage to Portland. I took a drive up through Nevada, which is my home state, and I saw parts of that state I had never seen before. And literally for a day and a half of driving, it seemed like we saw maybe 10 cars. It was just phenomenal. And then I took the very long trip from Portland to Atlantic City, but I had a week off in between to do it, and that was fun. You know, I just told myself, and everybody's questioning, why are you doing this, flying supposedly safe? I said, when am I ever going to get a chance the rest of my life to do something I've always wanted to do? So it was more of a joyride than a driving to work type thing.
Jerry Foltz from the Golf Channel is joining us this morning on The Fan. So you also got to play some golf, right?
Yeah.
How many rounds did you play over the summer?
During my driving time, I played about 6 rounds of golf with some friends and family. My son flew up to Kansas City when I was making my trip to Atlantic City, and he just tried to figure out where I was going to be for the weekend, and we played a couple of rounds of golf there with a couple good friends, and then everything just worked out. Everything worked out perfectly, and I wouldn't do it over. I wouldn't take it back for anything, put it this way. If I had to do it again, I would jump in that car tomorrow and get going.
So there are a few more LPGA events yet in this year, correct?
Yeah, shorter drives. I only have one. Where are we going? We go to Reynolds Plantation, 6.5 hours. That's like driving to the mailbox now. And then I have one in Dallas that I'm going to drive to, and that's about 17 hours. Again, it's a one-day trip. It's easy as pie. And that's really the rest of the long hauls. I do have to get on an airplane here in a couple weeks, in a week and a half, because I'm covering the Bermuda Championship for the PGA Tour, and you can't drive to Bermuda. But the only thing making me feel good about this is you have to have a negative COVID test result 3 days before you get on, within 3 days before getting on the flight to Bermuda. So basically everybody on that flight, you got to rest pretty well assured is COVID negative. And you get tested at the airport when you land. You go to your hotel till you get the results back, and you get tested every 4 days while you're there. So they've done a pretty aggressive job on keeping the island country COVID-free.
Wow. Well, that's protecting their business, and they have to, I would guess, be pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
So you've watched and you've been involved with the LPGA, you know, pretty much this year. How have they responded to the COVID-19 and trying to normalize things?
You know, they've, like they always do, they've bought in hook, line, and sinker to everything that they're asked to do, because it's just really what makes a difference out there. The PGA Tour has, too, for that matter. Very few COVID-positive tests, very few breaking of the protocol rules, which basically says you can't eat inside a restaurant or go to a bar or anything. And they feel really fortunate to be playing golf because, you know, they don't have the resources the PGA Tour has to continue to self-fund a lot of these measures, and they've been able to rely on some highly benevolent sponsors to continue playing events and raising money for local charities, even in the absence of allowing fans on the course. So the players realize how fortunate they are just to be playing at all, and are doing everything they can to make sure that it doesn't go off the rails.
We have a local player from Western Pennsylvania, Rachel Rohana. She's been out there trying to get to the LPGA Tour. She's, you know, solid on the Symetra Tour, but it has played a little bit of LPGA. And we've talked several times about the difficulty of making that last step up the ladder. But, boy, there are a lot of young players who are very good and they're making impacts on the LPGA Tour, aren't they?
Yeah, and Rachel's an extremely fine player who I think as soon as she proves to herself more than anybody else that she can play at that highest level, she'll be out there to stay for quite a while. She seems to have all the tools, and not beyond that, she's a really, really nice young lady.
Wonderful.
But yeah, there's, you know, I go around these courses on a survey the day or two before to take a look at things. I know most of them now, but when we go to a new course and I'm like, you know, winning score here might be 8 or 9 under. Talk to a few caddies, they'll 6 under, maybe 10 under. And then Sunday afternoon coming down the 18th hole with the last group and they're 21 and 18 under. And you just shake your head like, how in the world are they doing this? There's just so much talent out there, and it's such a different game than the men play. And there's so much beauty in the way the women play it compared to how the men play it, because it is all about precision and all about saving as many shots as you possibly can and strategically dissecting a golf course. And that, to me, that's the art of the game, because I'm old and I'm, you know, one of those old school guys. That's the art of the game that seems to be getting lost in all the bash and barge of the PGA Tour.
Guys don't like to hear this a lot, but it's been said a lot that we mid-teen handicappers and worse should be watching the LPGA players swing and not watch the PGA Tour players swing, because we can be helped by what we see from the women out there.
Oh, helped a lot more, yeah. The technique that they go about doing things, because they're going to have, you know, the average male recreational golfer has about a 93 to 95 mile per hour club head speed, and that's pretty close to the average on the tour. Mm-hmm. So you can learn a lot from their technique, but you can learn a whole lot more from their course management. And I mean, Anna Norquist, one of the top players in the world, has the chipping yips, but yet she still contends every week because she can play around that aspect of her game like nobody you've ever seen. So there's all kinds of examples like that of players who are able to overcome what they do maybe lack in the highest level skills. So yeah, none of us are going to swing the club like Bryson DeChambeau anytime soon, but we can hit it as far as NB Park and maybe learn to putt like she does and probably get a lot more enjoyment out of the game.
If I tried to hit the ball like Bryson DeChambeau, I'd be in the hospital. Jerry, we've unfortunately run out of time. I have really enjoyed talking to you today, and maybe we can do this again down the road.
Anytime, Mike. I have so enjoyed my time in Pittsburgh through the years and playing a few tournaments and working a few tournaments that I love talking to you and talking to your audience. Anytime.
All right. Jerry, thanks a lot, and good luck as you get back at it again.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right. That's Jerry Foltz from the Golf Channel. How about that? 13,000 miles on his truck as he traveled around the United States this year covering golf for the Golf Channel. All right, it's time for a break. We will be talking to Tom Redding from Fox Chapel Golf Club, and he's going to give us some insight into the renovation that they've done there. And it's good stuff, and we'll do that right after this break. You are listening to the Golf Channel. Yeah, the Golf Channel. The Golf Show on 93.7 The Fan.